Welcome everybody to the FOI Working Group. Sorry about the late start. The technology looks set to test us today as well as the content. Let's make a start, and can we have a list of those present and the apologies received, please, Christina?
Yes. From the CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Desiree Milosevic, Paulus Nyrenda, Patricia Poblete, Bill Semik, We don't have Dottie, right? That was a mistake. From the GAC, we have Frank March. From Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard and Sherilyn Donor. And from Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Christina Nordstrom and Bernie Turcott. From apologies we have received from Jaap Akkerhuis, Bart Boswinkle, Kim Davis, and Eberhard Lisse.
Thanks, Christina. Any further apologies anyone has? Anyone on the call whose name wasn't mentioned? If not, can we move on to confirmation of the agenda? I've circulated the agenda several days ago and received no suggested changes. So unless anyone has any issues, we'll continue. Okay, the first item of business for the meeting is the meeting report of 21 May, which is in front of us on screen now, and that was also circulated over the last weekend. Are there any issues with the meeting report? No discussion? If not, can we then move into the topic of revocation? I think, yeah, we have a document that's been discussed quite substantially online, so quite good to, in some ways to see good and useful online debate. And I think as a result of that, there is a suggested change of text from Nigel / Becky, which might be, I'm not sure whether we're better to deal with the draft that we have in front of us and entertain amendments to that, or look at the Nigel Becky text, or look at the Bill Semich suggested text. Just also for the record, before we get into the substance of the meeting, Eberhard has made his position quite clear on the list. He's apologised, and if they're not being on the call, but has stated quite a firm position. So we'll keep that in mind on the way through the discussion. Forgive me too, I have a fairly bad head cold at the moment, so I'll try and keep going for the meeting, but if my voice fades, I'll trust on Becky to take over chairing the meeting should that happen. Anyway, initially, let's head over to Bernie, and we'll start working on the amendment to the analysis document as we go. Just incidentally, Bernie, I noticed that analysis version 5, is that where you're intending to start from?
Well, this is... can you hear me? Because I'm not seeing the screen.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. All right, so I'm working a little blind here. Probably best to go through the notes in detail and piece the things together. Maybe what I would suggest, given how we're working, we'll go through the stuff that's agreed, get that out of the way, and then come back to the things we have to deal with. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
I'm not seeing any disagreement. Yes, please proceed down that path. Thanks, Benny.
Okay, so 4.1 in the notes document, we did not have agreement, so we'll skip that. 4.2, which refers to section 533, agreed on 9 May, agreed on May 23, so we will consider that as final. Section 534, agreed on May 9, agreed on May 23, will also be considered final. Might as well read them if they're final. Application to to designated managers, although one could read RFC 1591 to limit the authority of the IANA contractor to step in during the process of selecting a designated manager. On balance, the working group interprets the core of RFC 1591 to create, one, an ongoing obligation on the designated manager to operate the CCTLD without substantial misbehavior, and two, a reserve power for the IANA contractor to step in the event the designated manager does substantially misbehave. Moving on to Section 4.4 of the Notes Report, which deals with Section 5.3.4.11, agreed on May 9th, agreed on May 23, and final. So this one, mechanisms, which says that basically revocation has to be the only thing left for IANA, given what it can do. Section item 4.5, dealing with Section 53.412, agreed on May, agreed on May 23, is final. And this one deals with revocation being a last resort option to be exercised in situations where a delegated manager has substantially misbehaved in a way that poses a threat to the security and stability of the DNS, or where the manager fails to cure violations of the objective requirements described above. Section item 4.6, Section 53.413, was not agreed. We won't go through that right now. Item 4.7, Section 53.51, agreed is final. Section 53.2, final also. Section 53.61, there were minor edits, and so we have new text, which, as far as I'm concerned, should be final, also given our last meeting. Section item 4.10, dealing with Section 5.3.6.2, not agreed on May 9, May 23, general agreement on proposed text. So we will have to go through that one again today to get a second reading on that one. Item 4.11, Section 5.3.63, 23 May, amended text agreed. Again, that one we'll have to go through and get a second approval. Item 4.12, Section 5.4.1, agreed on May 9, agreed on May 23rd, and is considered final. Section 5.4.2 now removed. Section 5.4.3 will become 5.4.2, agreed on May 23, and we'll just give those one final reading to read them into the record. So that's our proposal for how to deal with things today. Is that okay with everyone? We will start again from the top and not deal with the ones where we have said they are final. Is that okay with you, sir?
Not seeing any disagreement. Bill's in agreement. Cheryl's in agreement. So let's proceed.
Okay. There was some new text. So we're back to Section 4.1 of the notes document. There was some new text proposed by Becky in version 6 of the document that was circulated earlier this week. That did not seem to generate the support we were hoping for, and therefore, that's 5.3.2.2, okay. Let me try and get things organized. We've got some other text, which I'm just going to paste in here, so we all look at the same thing. So I am modifying the notes, not the ones that will be on record just for the purposes of this meeting, because we're having problems uploading text. All right. Okay, and it's so different, we'll keep it different. So right now, I believe Bill was okay with this compromise and Nigel was okay with this compromise, but since I wasn't in the middle of those discussions, maybe I can ask Becky to speak to that and maybe Bill.
Okay. I think that you know, we had some pretty interesting and lively debates about this, and I think we were all in the same place, but having trouble figuring out a way to say it clearly. So what this basically says is there are a lot of things that have to be taken into consideration in order to determine whether the behavior of a CC manager meets these mushy, subjective fairness, honesty, service, and, you know, competence with respect to stuff that's not part of the technical aspects of the IANA relationship, and that any kind of assessment of that requires information that the IANA contractor will often lack, and notes, for example, that, you know, being equitable doesn't mean that everybody has to do the same thing all the time, just by way of example. And goes on to say where the IANA contractor lacks information and context about alleged substantial misbehavior involving the more subjective aspects of the necessary requirements, and that substantial misbehavior does not pose a risk to the stability or security of the DNS, it would not be reasonable to expect the IANA contractor to step in because it doesn't have that information. And in those cases, it makes sense for the IANA contractor to refrain and expect that significantly interested parties acting in accordance with the rule of law would resolve that without the IANA stepping in provision. So we've tried to get rid of this notion of context with respect to fairness, honesty, and service, but really talk about sort of the availability of facts and where the facts are, you know, not available and clear to IANA, it makes no sense to have IANA doing anything, and rather, you know, the rule of law should be invoked to resolve those by the relevant party.
Okay, and Bill, you replied to this on the list. Do you have anything to say? Well, I don't know if we have Bill, but I'm not hearing him.
Bill, if you
have... sir, should I just go through the text once so we've gone through it officially and then see if there are questions?
I think that would be quite useful.
Hello, it's Bill.
Oh, Bill, thank you.
Yeah, I got double muted here somehow. I'm comfortable with the language. I'm not sure I would stand up and salute Becky's complete invitation, but I'm 80% there. So I'm, as I said, I'm comfortable with this language and have no objection.
And I don't require any saluting.
That's not what you told me the other day.
So
I'm
going to go back to
the reading, sir.
I'm going to go back to the mute.
Go back to the mute, Bill. All right, so we have 5322. Sorry. 5322. The FOI working group notes, however, that many considerations must be taken into account in evaluating performance with respect to the more subjective aspects of the necessary requirements. Fairness, honesty, service, and or competence with respect to tasks outside IANA's core technical remit. Requiring information that the IANA contractor lacked, for example, the requirement that a TLD manager be equitable to all parties requesting domain names should not be interpreted as requiring TLD managers to operate identical policies. where the IANA contractor lacks information and context about alleged substantial misbehavior, involving the more subjective aspects of the necessary requirements, and the alleged substantial misbehavior does not pose a risk to the stability or security of the DNS, it would not be reasonable to expect the IANA contractor to step in. In such cases, the IANA contractor may refrain from acting and look to significantly interested parties acting in accordance with the rule of law for resolution. We've heard from Becky and Bill. This is our proposed text. Over to you, sir.
Any questions? Seems to me to be a text full of double negatives, but notwithstanding that, if we have agreements between Nigel, Bill and Becky, it seems to be substantially useful. I see Chris is agreeing with the text as it is. Is there any dissent?
Patricia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I somehow got dropped out of the Adobe Connect session, so I'm unable to raise my hand there. But anyway, the text to me seems a bit confusing in the sense that we are supposed to provide clear directions for the IANA to follow and for the CCDLD managers to know, so they can know what the rules of the game are. And here I believe that there is an intermixing of these directions with the rationale for the directions. Perhaps we are unable to separate them better, but at least we should have ourselves a clear understanding of what the directions are. If I, for the moment, say that I accept whatever rationale we are having, what are the directions? What's the IANA supposed to do? Basically, it comes down to the IANA not stepping in this case, and waiting for whatever the significantly interested parties do. Is that what we're trying to say?
No, I don't think so. I think, but this again needs to be read in context with the rest of the document. So this is more the stipulation of what you're not allowed to do, and I think what you are allowed to do comes later in the document. But let's see. I'm sort of with you too, Patricia. I have a little bit of uncertainty about this text, and probably need to read it again to gain some more comfort with it. But does anyone else have any opinion? No, well, let's note Patricia's comments and maybe come back to this later. So, Benny, in the interim, can we continue? Oh, Martin has his hand raised. So, Martin. Martin, you must be still on mute. Ah, there you are.
Yeah, it's a rubbish line. Can you hear me? All right.
Yes, you're coming in loud.
Okay. Yes, the wording is a bit convoluted. I'd certainly agree with Patricia on that. But I suspect that might be the price we have to pay identifying a middle path. Overall, I think it strike a certain balance between the different views, and like you, Keith, I think I need a little bit more time to think through, but on the face of it, it looks to me like a text that could fly. But I do have one one comment and one question. Is that it seems to have moved away from the wording in RFC 1591, in particular, where we talk about equitable, and that becomes fair, and I accept that they're synonyms, so I'm not really worried. But we, in the process, we've lost the just, where it actually says, and have the ability to do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. It just occurs to me that somebody might be scratching their heads when we are no longer around. I wonder why we about the last clause of the paragraph. And look to significantly interested parties acting in accordance with the rule of law for resolution. Now, apart from the sort of rather odd English, I think it's the same question as Patricio asked, that it's not clear to me what the IANA contractor's role is going to be here. He turns around and says, look, I really can't judge. I've got accusations coming in, but I can't tell which is right. You have to go and sort it out in whatever manner suits you, but it has to be within the rule of law. Now, that's roughly... Where, you know, in other words, it's got to go through a court and go through the appeals procedure. Now, am I that right?
Yeah, well put, sir. On to Patricio, I think, and then back to Chris and Becky for... to Bernie and Becky for further comments. So, Patricio. Patricio, you're probably on mute.
Oh.
There you are.
Oh, sorry, here I am. I was typing on the chat window.
Oh, okay, I see. So your comment on the chat window is it true that, or not, that all these words, many words, finally come down to the IANA contract may refrain from acting? I'm not sure if that would be the case, but
I don't know if Kim is on the call, but if I were the IANA contractor and I were faced with a situation where it is claimed that the CCTLD manager is not being fair or honest or whatever, what is the IANA supposed to do in this case? Then the IANA contractor would come to this very paragraph, read it carefully to decide what to do. And I'm not sure that there would be a clear answer to that question. What should the IANA contractor do in this case?
Okay. Kim did specifically put in an apology saying that this is one of the odd meetings where he's completely out of time zone somewhere else in the world. So. Just couldn't make this call. Yes, an interesting point that it could be worth raising with IANA specifically to gauge their response. But in the interim, Becky, do you have anything to add in terms of a response to Martin and Patricio?
Well, I'm actually having a little trouble understanding... I'm actually having a little trouble understanding what they're concerned about. Could you just repeat the example for me, Keith, that they were talking about what they wouldn't know how to deal with? Because to me, the point, what we're trying to say here is essentially that decisions and evaluations should be made by, you know, qualified bodies with the relevant facts. And in a case where IANA doesn't have relevant facts and the alleged behavior is not closely associated with ICANN's, with the sort of operational stability and security role, those decisions should be made, by appropriate parties acting under, standards established by the relevant rule of law. And it's just, it really is, I mean, to the extent that it's not, I mean, that's not an entirely satisfactory outcome, I imagine we could come up with a whole bunch of examples of where, sort of far out examples of where that would be. On the other hand, I think that the far more dangerous position for IANA to be in is to be in a situation where it's asked to make decisions about allegations with respect to which it simply is not in a position to, just not factually, it doesn't have the facts.
Okay, thanks, Becky. I think that helps me anyway, I'm having some greater comfort with the text, but that contextualizing is missing from the text, if you know what I mean. I don't know quite, I don't think either Patricio or Martin are dismissing the text as being unsatisfactory, as maybe how to make it more satisfactory. But I see both Patricio and Martin with their hands raised. I'm not sure whether Patricio has re-raised his hand or just forgot to take it down. But anyway, firstly, Patricio.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please? My phone connection is not that good at the moment. Can you repeat, please?
Oh, really? I was just asking if, following Becky's clarification, do you still have any specific issues with the text, or are you more happy with it?
It's hard for me to say. If this is the best that we can do, then so be it. If I were the IANA, I would expect something easier to understand as to what to do exactly in this kind of a situation. One has to dig among these sentences to try to find directions for the IANA. But perhaps we cannot do anything better if we want to get an agreement between everybody in the group.
Okay, thanks, Patricia.
I would be happy to say that the IANA contractor should refrain from acting where it doesn't have the facts. To me, that seems self-evident, and where it's not going to be able to have the facts. But it seemed to me that there were some sensitivities about that.
If I may.
Sure.
If I may, if we go, I agree that in probably most cases the IANA will refrain from acting because, not only because of what we say here, but also because of a lack of information. You can have conflicting, people saying conflicting things, and it may be hard to assess who's saying the truth and who's not. And if we expect the IANA to pass judgment in some cases, perhaps then one would have to say something about the procedure that the IANA would follow. Things like, for instance, listening to all the parties involved, make sure that they have an opportunity to present their cases. That's something in the sense of there should be a fair procedure for determining this. we haven't done much in that way, and we probably won't. So in that sense, the safest thing for the Ayana to do is refrain from acting.
Okay, I follow that, Patricio. Martin.
Thanks. I actually liked part of what Patricio said when he came up with where are conflicting views. And I just wondered whether what he has done is finger on one of those sort of concerns that you've got people making allegations, people making counter-allegations, it's in another country, it's impossible for IANA to carry out a proper investigation. It hasn't got the powers that would normally be available to the actors in the country, and therefore the fact that there are conflicting views, whether that is something that we could put in that would give the text a little bit more substance. But I'm just suggesting that without wanting to knock the text over at all, because I am conscious it is a difficult balance. There is, as people were talking, the other thing that had actually occurred to me was that there is the case where IANA might believe that PTLD manager is not doing a credible or an honest or a just or any of the other adjectives. I suppose there is then that question whether IANA might feel motivated to do something even though there were conflicting views within the country. And so, that's where I think having something in terms of conflicting views might be useful. I think that I found Becky's explanation very helpful, and it does sort of help me understand where the text is coming from. So I'm feeling reasonably comfortable subject to sort of assessing rethinks. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Well, I think what I can take from that is that Patricio and Martin have both got some reservations that the text is a little crude, but no actual violent objection to the principles contained within the text. So I think maybe we could all look to this particular text and see if maybe it's one clause that we could take online and see if we can improve over the coming 2 weeks. So if we leave it as square bracketed text at this stage, but let's keep working on it. And I think if all else fails, then this probably has to become the accepted text, but let's see if we can improve it before the next call. So with that, I don't think we'll assign a drafting group to try and do that, but if Patricia and Martin, myself and others can have a look through and maybe suggest a slight tweaking or tinkering with it that might improve it, that could be very useful. So could we proceed down that track and continue? Thanks, Bernie.
Yes, sir. All right, moving on. 5.3 is Section 4.2, referring to 5.3.3. Final, Section 5.3.4. Final, 53.4.11, final. 53-412 final. 53-413 is our next one. I believe there was some text from Becky. I don't know what the status of that was. Is there, maybe we should just bring up the text Becky proposed on that?
Yes.
Becky, is that what we should do?
Yes. Yes, that's what
okay,
we should do.
Okay, I will endeavor to do this right now then. Okay. Now, we were at 53-413. Here we go. It's up on the screen. I'll go through it. As discussed in Section 5322 above, the FOI Working Group notes that the IANA contractor will rarely be in a good position to evaluate the extent to which a designated manager is carrying out the necessary responsibilities of a CCTLD operator in a manner that is equitable, just, honest, or, except insofar as it compromises the security of the DNS, a competent manner. Taking into consideration the primary responsibility of the IANA contractor with respect to the stability and security, the FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to mean that revocation would not be an appropriate exercise of its right to step in unless the designated manager has substantially misbehaved in a manner that poses a risk to the stability or security of the DNS, has refused to comply with the requirement listed under 531 above, and or has refused to correct objective repeated problems with email connectivity, presence on the Internet, and or maintenance. Rather, such issues should be resolved locally under the applicable rule of law. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Bernie. And I think this is really just a restating with different words the RFC 1591 requirements. But are there any questions? I see Bill has his hand raised. So, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not certain that the last sentence reflects RFC 59, since there's no mention of local applicable rule of law.
Wait, actually, that should be, that language should be changed to read, to carry out the last sentence of that, of the rework text that Nigel and I agreed on, which is look to the you know, should look to the significantly interested parties acting in accordance with the rule of law.
Yeah, my problem with that is that if you read this, it's in a somewhat different context from the previous one, and what it's really doing is, as Patricio mentioned, abrogating IANA's responsibility for anything but making decisions based on the technical side and sort of ignoring the other responsibilities that IANA has to assume under RFC 59, which is 1591, which is, in fact, to make decisions about things like this. Yes, agreed, perhaps with input from applicable law and interested parties, but at the same time, it is IANA's decision. And I think Gail probably come up with a lot of situations where IANA might decide otherwise in some countries.
Well, let me just try this a different way. I mean, what we're saying here is, I'm not sure it does come up in such a different way. What we're talking about is the sort of, in those cases where, you know, we're talking about subjective things that we think IANA is unlikely to be in a position to have the facts about. And so what we're saying is, in those cases, revocation is not an appropriate response. And whatever, you know, the alleged misbehavior is, sort of complaints about that belong in a different venue, not in, in IANA as the adjudicator here. Now, presumably, if they don't step in, as we talked about in 5224, then, you know, this is, to me, it seems like we could just use the 5224 language here and say it wouldn't be, I don't have it right in front of me because you're scrolling around here, but, you know, it wouldn't, they couldn't defer from acting. And, I mean, essentially just repeat the language and insert the word including revocation, stepping in including through revocation, and we would be saying the same thing. Because what we're saying is basically in those places that it's stupid for IANA to act because they don't know what's going on and the stability and security of the DNS is not at risk, it seems self-evident that revocation wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah, I still see it as a sort of an abrogation of its responsibilities if we put this in here. For IANA to say, gee, I don't know, is he competent? Is he equitable, you know, just, honest? I have no idea. And not give IANA the opportunity to say, let's look at the input and make a decision, as opposed to, I have no idea, somebody else decides, like Fontenot.
Well, I mean, I think that those, the question of why, how you would want to set IANA up to be judge and jury of stuff which is going to require, you know, enormous fact-finding, you know, where there's going to be a he said, she said, and this is going on and that's going on kind of thing. I mean, I think that there's been, you know, a lot of attempts to use, you know, to sort of impose on IANA to do things that properly belong in the courts. And my interest in this, frankly, is to enable IANA to feel clear about saying, this is not my job.
I would feel better if we were requiring IANA to make this sort of decision to step away and let someone else decide, you know, requiring them to make a judgment on that, make a judgment call that that's required, to, instead of just saying they don't have to do it.
I should probably be quiet, but let me just say, if we have said in the other one that, if they don't have a fact, it's not appropriate. So all we're saying here is if they don't have a fact, if a fact or revocation is not appropriate. The moment you say IANA has to decide whether it has a fact or not, you put IANA in the position of having to entertain all kinds of petitions that it is not in a position to evaluate. And I think then we've solved no problem.
Yeah, it is a conundrum. The fact is RFC 1591 does require to make these decisions. Okay, I'll shut up.
Okay, well, I think it's requiring IANA to make the decision where it's empowering IANA to make that decision and trying to draw a line between what it's empowered to or not. However, I have Chris with his hand raised. For Chris.
Sorry, yes. Well, I may be redundant now, but I was confused as to why the previous paragraph, which effectively says the same thing, and this one is not. Is there a difference in context that I'm using? Because they're both using the same effect.
Okay.
It's really hard to hear.
I think we got that, but that was...
don't worry about it, Tom.
Yeah. Okay, so... I haven't heard any dispute necessarily over
anything except really the last sentence, which might be subject to some improvement. But does anyone have anything else to raise? If not, Bernie, do you have enough to work on this text, or should we leave it as it is, and would it be considered an acceptable compromise text as it is?
I don't think there's a lot to be gained from doing a lot more with it at this point. I'll be talking to Becky after the call, and we'll see what we can do here.
Yeah. My feeling is that it seems acceptable, but it's not as concise or useful as it could be. But if there's no strenuous objection, then we can probably live with it. So. Okay. Can we carry on then, please, Bernie?
Thank you, sir. I will put down this page and go back to the notes. So we have just finished going through the new text for section 53413. Section 5351 is final, 5352 final, 5361 final, 5362. We got agreement not on May 9th, but on May 23rd. On the proposed text. Let's go through that and see if we can get a second agreement. 5362. If the IANA contractor revokes a delegation, it should attempt, in collaboration with the significantly interested parties, to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is identified. This was generally accepted at a last meeting. Is there any discussion? Over to you, sir.
Oops, caught making myself a cup of coffee. Okay, are there any questions or comments? If not, then I think we can...
Keith, it's Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, yeah. Chris.
Just to say that unless I missed it, the text that Bernie read out is not actually the identical text to what's on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Bernie, you said if the IANA contractor revokes the delegation, it should attempt, I think you said, in collaboration with significantly interested parties, and the text that I've got in front of me says with the concerned party. I don't know which one.
I'm reading from 4.10.4, which is the... modified text. So you're reading 4.10.1, which was the original text.
Thank you very much. I now understand how the numbering works.
You're welcome.
Okay, Bill has his hand raised. So Bill.
Well, I'm sorry, I made the same error. I was going to ask what previous described meant.
Okay. So now.
Apologies.
No problem. So now back to the actual 4.10.4 text. Is there any discussion or dispute or disagreement? Can we regard it as accepted text? I'm seeing Chris giving it a green tick. No dissent. Cheryl?
I was doing the coffee thing just like you were, but I'm back to the computer now.
Okay. Showing agreement as well. Okay, so it looks like we have agreement there, Bernie, so please continue while I continue to make my coffee.
All right, thank you, sir. Section 411 dealing with Section 5363 of the text. We have some minor amendments which were agreed on our last meeting. We probably should go through it to finalize it. I am going to read from Section 4.11.3 at this point, which is the amended text. The FOI Working Group believes it is consistent with RFC 1591 and natural justice to recognize the manager has the right to appeal a notice of revocation by the IANA contractor to an independent body. Full stop. Over to you, sir.
Gosh, we need more text in order to be able to conclude our coffee making activities.
Sorry about that, sir.
It's good to see the Antipodean priorities, isn't it?
Well, that's early in the morning, isn't it? Okay, I'm seeing Bill agreeing with the text. I'm seeing Maureen agreeing with the text. I'm not hearing anyone having any exception to it.
Just a point of clarification, Keith?
Sure, Patricia.
Yeah, for the lawyers online, I'm sure there are quite a few. This mention of natural justice, is that a technical term meaning something that everybody understands the same? I ask because, as it happens, right now in Chile, through the main newspaper, there is a debate that has been going on for a couple of weeks between experts taking sides on whether there is such a thing as natural justice or not.
Does that involve Nigel?
Yeah. Aren't we taking sides in some unknown debate or something?
Not especially. I think it's an accepted common law principle of natural justice, but I'll hand over to expert lawyers like Becky to confirm that or otherwise. Becky?
Could you ask that again? I'm sorry, Patricia. I was not making comments, coffee, but I was momentarily distracted.
It's the term of natural justice, Becky, and whether it's an actual term of art or does it have common law meaning or is it some obscurity we've allowed ourselves to be persuaded to use somewhere along the line?
Where do we use natural justice? If we use natural justice, it wasn't me.
It's 4, 11, 3, isn't it, Bernie?
Yes, it was originally in version 5 of the document, but there was some discussion around the use of to allow a manager, and then it was restructured from to allow manager to recognize the manager has the right. But no one said anything about natural justice on our previous call.
Yeah.
But, of course, this came from Nigel.
Yes.
Sorry, can we go back to Becky firstly, and then after Becky?
It could have been Nigel, in which case I'm sure it means something quite clear, but I mean, it just seems simply fair.
Okay, back to Patricio.
Yeah. Would it lose anything if we replace natural justice with a word like fairness?
I'm fine with that. We should probably ask Nigel.
Yeah, can we just put a square bracket around the words natural justice and refer back to Nigel, Bernie, and see if it is a term of art? I'm fairly comfortable that it's a clause that we use in New Zealand quite regularly in law, in court, to so I have a strong feeling it is a common law principle. Other than that, I see Patricio and Chris have their hands raised. Patricio first.
Just forgot to lower my hand.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Chris.
Keith, you're right. It is a term that's used in Westminster jurisdictions, common law jurisdictions. It's not necessarily defined specifically. It's a general term that's used to... as a citizen, I have a right to X because of natural justice. Frankly, I think it's redundant in this clause. What we're trying to say here is that under RSC 1591, there should be a right to appeal. Frankly, it doesn't matter a jot whether it's because of natural justice or not. So I'm not entirely sure what use of those words is, but I have no doubt that Nigel will be able to provide us with some explanation.
Okay. Well, Benny, I think you have enough on that to go back to Nigel and see whether we can drop the term or whether it's really critical to him. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Moving along, I don't see any other people seeking the floor, so Benny, can we move on?
Yes, sir. Item 412, dealing with Section 541, is final. 542 was removed. 543 now becomes 542. Was agreed on May 23rd, so needs to be reread. If the IANA contractor revokes a delegation, it should attempt in collaboration with the significantly interested parties to ensure the CCTLD will continue to remain until a suitable replacement is found. Yes, it is exactly the same text from 536.2 as is quoted there. If it was agreeable previously, unless people have suddenly discovered new reasons to comment or object to this, we will take it as okay. Over to you, sir.
I see Chris is agreeing with the text. I'm not seeing anyone disputing the text. Martin's indicating agreement. So on the basis of no objection, let's consider it finally agreed.
Okay. Item 415, dealing with Section 544, which was agreed to copy from Section 5363, which we've just dealt with. I imagine... I copied the wrong one, too. I just noticed that. So basically, what the text should read is this. I will correct that in the final notes, and we should get that right there. Okay, so it should read the same thing, and we, I imagine, will have the same problem. Over to you, sir.
Yep, I think we'll keep those brackets right there. Chris is indicating agreement, and Martin has his hand raised. So, firstly, to Martin.
Thanks, Keith. Not wanting to sort of throw this thing into the air too much, but just a simple question on this. Natural justice. This is a text that's supposed to be being read by people all over the world. Certainly got to be understood by the IANA functions contractor who is going by definition got to be based in the West. Is this term that will be understood by somebody in the US? Because if it isn't, then I think that would predispose me to want to have it have this wording removed if it is just a sort of peculiar London law term of art.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good point, Martin. Thank you. Look, I think Patricia has just pointed out on the chat the Wikipedia term natural justice is often retained as a general concept in jurisdictions such as Australia and the United Kingdom. It has largely been replaced and extended by the more general duty to act fairly. And actually, I think rather than using a term of art, you could use a term of art that also has a plain English meaning which should be translatable, so maybe substituting natural justice with duty to act fairly gives us exactly what we need here. And so I wonder if we could consider that as being the likely amendment that...
Sir?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm almost thinking that, you know, we've pulled natural justice out of the air as... I'll take Nigel's place here for a second. It doesn't show up anywhere in RFC 1591. We are saying that, as it is our remit to interpret RFC 1591, to say that we recognize that the manager has a right to appeal the notice of revocation to an independent body. I'm not sure qualifying it really buys us a lot, and obviously has caused confusion for people. I'd almost be thinking that or to simply remove it.
Okay. Well, I think you have sufficient information, Bernie, to...
I will talk with Nigel about it. But...
Yeah. I think you could take it to Nigel that there is significant, or there is some discomfort with the word natural justice. And if he's determined to have a phrase there, perhaps the suggested duty to act fairly might be a more appropriate universal term. So I think we'll leave you to walk down that path, Bernie, and perhaps the best consequence would be to drop it altogether, if you're able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And we are done.
That's it. That's the last of them. Is there... I thought there was one more. No.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the revocation topic, unless anyone has anything to raise at this point. Not. We'll finish our meeting 48 minutes early. Our next meeting is scheduled for the 20th of June in 2 weeks' time at 1300 UTC. So unless anyone has anything more, we'll note that next meeting and close this meeting. So thank you all for your attendance and participation. Thank you all, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone.